Along with the announcements that have already been made, I want to express my appreciation to the elders and the congregation here for inviting me to take part in the gospel meeting this week. There are a whole lot of people you could have got a lot better than me, but I'm humbled that you would have the confidence that I could stand here and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is what I intend to do, and will try to do the best that I can at that. Let me say that Monday through Friday, we're going to be talking about some lessons from the book of Isaiah. Not your typical chapter 53 or anything like that, but some of the places in Isaiah that may not get a lot of attention. One night we're going to talk about the holiness of God. One night we're going to talk about what is God looking for. One night we're going to talk about the heart of a servant. And let me say, on Friday night in particular, we're going to talk about a new God. And I'm not going to say any more about that one than that, but let me suggest to you, it is an amazing lesson regarding things that will change your life. And so I hope that you'll plan to come back for Friday night's lesson in particular, but all of them that you can. Tonight we'll go on a fishing trip. And then this morning, as you can see, we're going to turn to the book of James and the fourth chapter, where our lesson will be coming from this morning, James chapter 4. Make sure you bring somebody with you throughout the week, because we're going to make a play for their hearts as well. If they are not children of God, have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are vitally interested. And all these lessons will end with a plea for them to make a decision to come to Christ while they have that time. And so to that end, I do encourage you always to keep a Bible handy and look around at the things that we're talking about so that you can see with your own eyes that what we're going to say has indeed come from God's Word. And in a moment we'll sing a song that would be a good time to make a decision, but you can say, "I want to become a Christian," anytime you want, and we'll just stop and we'll take care of business right then. In James chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, James has this little admonition. Beginning in verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. For what is your life? It is for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." And so here is a little bit from James, and he sort of puts life in its perspective. And he puts it in the form of a mist or a vapor that appears very shortly, and then it's gone. Now, as a young boy growing up, it didn't take me a long time to learn that when you saw the steam rising from the pot on the stove, that meant stay away. So I did it one time and then burnt my hands up. And then I knew from that point on, don't touch a boiling pot up on the stove that way. But at the same time, I can't say that I always have heeded to that advice, because I will still see the steam rising off the food and just pick it up and put it right in my mouth. Just the other night, I swang through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and the man handed me the bag. He said, "Now be careful, the french fries are hot." And I said, "Thank you." And I drove on. What did I do? I reached in there, put those things in my mouth, spit them all over the windshield. Oh, they were so hot. My wife will make coffee. You know, about the only time I drink coffee is on Sunday morning when we're on our way to church, and she'll make the coffee and we'll put it in there. And And, you know, every now and then I'll take a swig off of that coffee mug and or coffee cup and spit it out because it's burning my tongue off. And she'll say, "Did you see the steam rising off of it?" And I'll have to say, "Well, yeah." So I can't say that I've always learned a lesson when you see the steam rising off of something, stay awake. But I have learned that when you do see the steam rising, it mixes with the air and then it goes away. And so what James does here is he compares life to that very thing. And while people seek things that they think provide security and comfort in their lives, a lot of the things they seek don't provide those things. I have to think about a little house on Sycamore Road in an area called Laywell out in the country. That's my home right there. That's where I grew up. That's where I keep my yesterdays, as the song says. That's when I was being bullied and stuff in school, that was my refuge. I had a rock fort up on the hill there. That was my fortress of solitude, and I would go up there and sit for hours by myself, or I would play a Daniel Boone with a long stick and ward off the enemy from that fort and everything. That's where I had comfort and assurance. I sat on the porch there as a kid, on the porch swing at night, listening to the wind rustling through the trees and the whippoorwills. Anybody heard a whippoorwill lately? I miss those. Haven't heard them. But that's where my comfort was and my assurance was. And that house right there, not very assuming, perhaps, that's my home. That's where I grew up. And that house is not there anymore. That's what life is in general. The things that we look at, the things that we hold on to, the things that we pursue and that we search are really nothing more than vapors, than mist. And it's like grasping at the wind, because there is nothing for us to hold on to. I'm going to talk about four things very quickly here that I think we could include in what James mentions here as he talks about life. Now, one thing he says is about today or tomorrow, we go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And certainly there's nothing wrong with trading and business and making profit and making the things that we need to have to live and all of that. But I'll tell you that if that is what our life consists of, if our lives are about the accumulation of things, what we're grasping for then is the mist. And we haven't learned the lesson that the mist is going to rise and it's going to fade away. Jesus taught this in Luke chapter 12 at verse 15. "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now, how true that is. And yet, what do we see today? What do we see everybody in pursuit of? What is everybody looking for? Things. Trinkets. Gadgets. The latest thing. The latest iPhone. The latest big screen TVs. The latest cars. I'm seeing commercials now on cars that will parallel park themselves. I don't know if I trust that or not. I had to see that to believe it, but man, boy, oh boy, is everybody going to go out and search for one now? Is everybody? I got to have a car to park itself. I mean, the latest things out there, we want that and we pursue that. Well, what do those things bring? You get a car, it's going to tear up eventually, isn't it? Get a TV, you're going to be watching it right in the middle of a UK game, it's going to go off. You get this, you get that. What happens to these things? They're vapors. They're things. And yet we define ourselves by what we own. We define ourselves by the things that we're able to accumulate. That's what the world does, and that's what society teaches us to do. And we fall right in line with it. We go right along. But let me show you this in relation to material things and life. In that Luke 12, Jesus goes on to tell about the man who got a lot of stuff. And he looked at his barns, and his barns weren't big enough. So what did he do? He said, I'm going to tear my barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to get more stuff. And what happened that night? His soul was required of him. He died, didn't he? The Apostle Paul gives us the admonition in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I think we're familiar at least with some of that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is a great gain. Contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many pains. So, there are important things in life to pursue, but material things aren't one of them. Yet when we don't have as much as other people do, and we perceive that we don't have as much as somebody else does, rather than us being content with what we have, rather than us being on the pursuit of something that will last beyond this life and will last more than a vapor, that is godliness, we have to catch up. Man, I wish I had that lawnmower that guy has over there. Well, boy, this thing turns around right on itself, you know. I got to take 40 acres to turn one around. Or I got to walk and push one. I got the old sickle mower, you know. Yeah. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. Oh, and then what do we have? What happened? We're not content anymore. And when we're not content, we're at war with ourselves and with everybody else. And all that's going to bring is pain. Godliness with contentment is the gain there. Jesus said, Matthew 6, 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your treasure at this morning? Is it a treasure chest buried out in the backyard? Is your treasure chest the things that you own, where you sit back in your lazy boy chair and you look around at everything you have and look at all the stuff I've got? Well, go ahead. Look at it. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have those things that you have. What I'm saying is, if that's what your life is about, about the wrong thing. Because those things you're not going to take with you. Have you ever read about the pharaohs in Egypt? You know, the pyramids and all these tombs that these elaborate tombs that were built for the pharaohs there. And they filled them up with gold and silver and precious things. And there was a fortune buried with these pharaohs because they were going to need all that in the afterlife. The only problem is, 1,000 years later, when somebody discovered the tomb, what was still there? The mummy and the treasure. Didn't help them a bit, did it? You can't take these things with you. You can only use them now, but they're going to fade away like a vapor along with life. Another thing that people pursue is popularity, the fame, the notoriety, you know. And certainly, to be sure, nobody doesn't want to be popular. Everybody wants to be like you. Josh Groban, you might know who Josh Groban is. Beautiful singer. And he's got a song called You Are Loved. And in the song it says, everybody wants to be loved. Well, everybody does want to be loved, don't they? Everybody wants to feel the praise and adulation of others. They want to get a pat on the back. And if they don't get a pat on the back from someone, they'll pat themselves on the back to make sure that everybody knows about them. And so the desire for popularity. You ever hear these ball players out there? A couple of NBA players out there, you know. I think DeMarcus Cousins was one of them. You might know who DeMarcus Cousins is. And a great ball player. But he's out there saying, I don't care what everybody else thinks about me. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. He wouldn't act the way he did, but he wants attention. He wants people to look at him. And so do all of them like that, to talk that way. But John chapter 12 and verse 42, here's what Jesus said about that and what's recorded in regard to the people's response to Jesus. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. Well, really? The authorities believed in Jesus? But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Sometimes if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to stand up for things, and it's not going to make you very popular. And sometimes when you take those stands, you could be downright persecuted because of that. And so a lot of times people, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want people to look down on me. I don't want people to say bad things about me. I just won't take a stand. I'll just sit back. I'll just keep my mouth shut. You know, there are a lot of people in religion, in Christianity, that you could go study with, and you could go sit down with, and you could persuade them of the truth of how to become a Christian and what the church is. You could persuade them. They could get to the point where they say, I see what you're saying, but the church I'm going to is bigger. But my family goes to that church over there. But we're able to have all this money. Look at our beautiful sanctuary that we have. There's always something else that they don't want to lose. They may know what the truth is, but they can't let go for fear. The better thing, as they see it with their eyes, is over here. That's what these Pharisees caused to happen to people. There were a lot of authorities even, people well off that believed in Jesus, but they feared being put out of the synagogue, so they would not openly confess Him. Well, let me tell you something, and you know it as well as I do. Popularity, the big thing, all of that, you know what? It's going to go away, isn't it? You're popular today, but you're not tomorrow. You know, yesterday morning, a lot of people picked Villanova to win the NCAA championship, didn't they? Well, where are they at now? Bums. Yeah, that's the way we treat it. Oh, as long as it's going well, yeah, we like that, and we're all for you, but as soon as it turns south, we go over here to something else. We can't do that. And we can't do that as Christians. That's not what we seek. Yeah, we don't want to be hated. We want to live peaceably with everyone, but we want God. And not to please man. Now, third thing that we could talk about is the pleasures of sin. As We're all familiar with the great text in Hebrews 11, where Moses is talked about choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. A season. Did you catch that? Now, that's not denying that sin is pleasurable. That's not denying that there's no pleasure in sin. Yes, there is. That's what makes it so attractive. And that's why people get involved with it so easily. The world is attractive. The world says, hey, escape your daily pressures. Escape your daily problems. Here's this beautiful bottle. Or this little pill. It'll take your problems away. And we fall for that. And we get addicted to that. I have a, I just found this out, cousin, my age. Now, you know, I'm from West Virginia, so don't hold that against me. And he lives up there. And he's been involved in every thing under the sun. Every addictive substance that there is out there, he's tried it. He's brain dead right now, and they're pulling the plug today. Pleasures of sin. Oh, he had his pleasure. He enjoyed it. And it's gone. And so is he. That's what you get with the pleasures of sin. That's all it has to offer. And Satan will portray all these things out there as the next best thing. Oh, this is the greatest thing. Oh, this is going to help you so much. Oh, you're going to love. Oh, you're going to love this. And then as soon as you get into it, Satan says, I got you now. And before you know it, that pleasure is gone. And the pain starts. And everything that goes with it starts. And then your life ends. Just like that. And it doesn't last forever. Let me show you this in 1 John 2 and verse 15. Yeah, we all talk about love not the world, right? The things that are in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not of God or of the Father. That's of the world. But verse 17, did you ever notice that? He said, the world is passing away, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Now, I often make this point at funerals. And I've done way more than I ever wanted to do. And have another one to do Tuesday. And the point that I like to make is that very verse right there. Because we often say, when a Christian dies, yeah, they passed away. No, they didn't. The world passes away, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. They died, yes, but they did not pass away. Don't ever say that a child of God has passed away. They didn't. The world passes away. Because it's a vapor. It's part of the life. It's part of the material possessions. It's part of the fame and popularity. It's part of what goes on here. And that's going bye-bye. And if I follow it, I'll go bye-bye with it. But if I follow the will of the Father, I'll live forever. Because His Word lives forever. He lives forever. What do we talk about in our Bible class? We have a forever priest. So I hope you're seeing right now, which is the better way to cast your lot? And one more thing very quickly, life itself, we know, that's what James is talking about. A person can live a long time, but in the scheme of things, they haven't lived very long, have they? Life is short. And we have to die. Solomon said, it's the event out there waiting on us all. The event, death. And Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 5 says, "For the living know they will die." Oh, we bury it, we suppress it, we don't like to think about it, but we know we will die. And it comes sooner rather than later. You know, I was reading in biblical archaeology about the city of Jericho. You know there are 17 cities there built on top of each other? There was a city, and then it would get destroyed, and they built another city around top of that, then they would get destroyed, then they built another. 17 times that's happened. That doesn't illustrate life. I don't know what does. That house I showed you earlier where I grew up, it's gone. But there's another house right beside of it. There's another one up on the hill now. And just like that, our lives are over. The things that we were associated with are over. Paul said it this way, though. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. "We know if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." If this goes, and it will, and soon, we have a building of God, not a tabernacle, not a tent, something permanent. A building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And the fact of the matter is, I know all this. I know about the possessions. I know about the popularity. I know about everything else that we pursue in this life. I know all of that. And I still sin. Because what do I pursue? What do I make more important? What do I forget every single day? God. Christ. Who I am. And that's what James is trying to warn us not to do. We know to do good. We know what the right thing is. That's what we need to pursue. If you're not a child of God this morning, then I hope that you'll think about this. What are you after? What are you looking for? Because if it belongs to the earth, it's going away, and you'll go right with it. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. This church doesn't want that for you. Come to Christ. He is eternal. His ways are eternal. And He died so that you could do that. He died on a cross. He shed His blood. He so horribly suffered for you. And He raised from the dead to show that He is forever. That's not a vapor that appears for a little time. That's a full-fledged fire that can't be put out, and the smoke ascends forever and ever. I hope that you will come and let His blood wash your sins away. Now here's what Jesus said. This is not Church of Christ doctrine. This is what Jesus said. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's it. And it's not hard. And here's a group of people that are praying that you'll do that. Right now. We'll stand and sing this song. Put your faith in forever. Put your faith in Christ. Come forward right now while we stand and sing.
I know.